Okay, welcome to the deep dive. Today we're digging into the Internet Computer Project, ICP, and the Definity Foundation behind it. This all kicked off when we got hold of this, well, let's call it a very glossy comparison document they were pushing.
Yeah, highly promotional, is putting it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we started actually comparing that marketing stuff to their own, you know, engineering docs and legal filings, red flags everywhere.
It really jumped out. The main finding, honestly, it's pretty startling. We saw what looks like a systematic pattern of, well, misrepresentation across the board, really technical claims, how they presented their finances, even their legal stance.
Exactly. So our mission today for you listening is basically to unpack that pattern. We want to show you exactly how the big marketing promises often clashed, like directly with what their own engineers were documenting and what came out in court.
Okay, let's dive straight into the tech side then, because the first thing, it was almost crude, really. Their promo material, it had citations that were just flat out wrong, like verifiably false. They were linking to BitTorrent Chain's documentation.
Right, doc.bt.io.
To support claims about ICP. It's a pretty basic deception right there in the marketing.
Yeah, and that's just the appetizer, isn't it? The main course, technically speaking, is this HTTPS outcalls feature. They hyped this thing up massively, called it the Oracle Killer. Revolutionary tech.
The game changer.
Supposedly. But then you look at Definity's own official engineering materials, and they describe it as an inherent denial of service attack vector, a DOS vector.
Hold on. So the feature that's meant to let smart contracts talk to the outside web is actually documented by them as a way to accidentally, or maybe not accidentally, attack any website it connects to.
That's the paradox, precisely. Their own docs explain how it works. An outcall gets, and I quote, amplified by the number of replicas in the subnet. So instead of one neat request, the poor API server on the other end gets hit with a whole bunch of requests all at once.
Like a denial of service attack.
Exactly. Their docs explicitly warn this flood will likely get the canister's IP address hit with temporary or permanent bans from the target service, or even corrupt data. It's DOS by design, baked right in.
Wow. Okay. And this seems to tie into their auditing strategy, or maybe lack thereof. The sources point out they're happy to promote positive audits for things like, say, TextVPC standard crypto stuff.
Mm-hmm. Crypto native things.
But the big one, the core piece, the HTTP gateway that makes their whole web on-chain idea even work. No public audit mentioned for that.
Conspicuously absent, yeah. That gateway is this central point, right? The bridge between the ICP world and the regular web. Without a proper external audit on that critical piece, it's kind of a black box, a single point of trust, which is ironic for a blockchain project.
Okay, so the engineering foundation seems questionable, let's say. What happens when this hits the open market? How do the finances play out?
Well, connecting that tech narrative to the money side, it gets pretty grim. They raised a lot of capital, $163 million from big names, A16s, Polychain, blue chip VCs. But then came the token launch, May 2021, right at the market frenzy peak. The price shot up to $630, very briefly. Then it just cratered, fell over 90%. And this happened right alongside some pretty credible accusations of insider dumping. You know, key players allegedly cashing out big time while the price was high.
And the VCs weren't just bystanders here?
No. Crucially, they were named as controlling defendants in the lawsuit that followed. The sources suggest they were seen as deeply involved, not just passive investors.
Right. The lawsuits. This brings us to what you call the accountability paradox. It's fascinating how this played out legally. Two key cases, right?
Exactly. First, Definity actually sued its critics, Arkham Intelligence, for defamation over those insider dumping claims. And Definity lost. The judge basically said Arkham's claims were a protected opinion because they were based on public blockchain data. It sort of validated the criticism in a way.
So they couldn't silence the critics. But then there was the big one, the investor class action, the one alleging they sold unregistered securities.
And that one, they escaped. They didn't win on the merits of whether ICP was a security or not. They got it dismissed on a technicality. They successfully argued the clock for suing them. The statute of repose started ticking way back with their private seed round in 2017, not when they actually sold the tokens to the public in 2021.
So let me get this straight. They failed to legally shut down the people accusing them of dumping, but they use a legal timing argument to avoid a court ever ruling on whether they illegally sold securities to all those investors who lost money.
That's the gist of it. Avoided the core issue. It's quite the legal posture. Failed to stop the accusations, but successfully dodged accountability for the alleged investor harm.
It paints a picture. And there was one more piece about the origins, wasn't there? Something about how the project was initially framed.
Yeah, just briefly, the sources mentioned its roots were actually in a Chinese-backed incubator, String Labs, co-founded by Atom Ding. But the public narrative, especially around the launch, pivoted hard to that A16s-backed, very Western Silicon Valley image. It just feels like another instance where the marketing story didn't quite match the full picture.
Okay, so wrapping this up for you, the listener, the big takeaway seems to be this massive gap, right, between the super ambitious marketing, the big VC names, and then the documented technical issues, the financial collapse, and this very careful legal maneuvering to sidestep liability.
It's a profound disconnect, and it leaves us with a thought, something for you to chew on. Dfinity successfully argued that the legal risk clock for investors started ticking years before the public ever got a chance to buy the token.
Right.
So what does that precedent mean for you, the retail investor, looking at future VC-backed token launches? How does that change your understanding of risk and when accountability truly begins or ends? It really shifts the goalposts.